We're being asked as bosses to make choices between the well-being of the communities we live in and the company we help run. In almost every case, the idea that those things are in conflict is a lie. We should all refuse to play that game. But in the cases where they are in conflict or where we're forced to pretend that they are, we have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. Companies don't have intrinsic value. People do. Choose people. Of course, as Rebecca Kennison reminds me, it's not unusual to suggest that some kinds of organizations do have intrinsic value because of the good they seek to create in the world. Institutions of higher education and other public service-oriented nonprofits number among them. Nearly all such organizations, and even a significant percentage of for-profit companies, would claim to put people first. But in doing so, they are most often pointing outward to the people they serve, rather than the people who do the serving. Where they focus inward, they often do so by reducing the human from noun to adjective, human resources, human capital, making clear the subjugation of people to their economic function. Moreover, those of us who work for public service organizations and institutions are imagined to do so because we have some kind of calling that prioritizes the good of others over more material or individual rewards. And as a result, when there are difficult choices to be made, we are called upon to sacrifice. This is the pattern that Fobazi Attar has called vocational awe, a set of beliefs that places some institutions, in Attar's case libraries, beyond critique, that turns labor on their behalf into a sacred calling, and that therefore justifies any damage done to the lives of those who do the labor. But the damage done by turning labor into a vocation is real, and it manifests in massive burnout and other forms of material, bodily, and psychological suffering in employees who internalize the belief that any form of complaint can threaten the organization's mission. Perhaps one part of the problem is right there in that term, mission. Universities and other nonprofit organizations, as well as public service corporations, often aspire to be mission-driven, without fully considering the lingering religious colonialism of the term. If we have a mission, who is it we're saving, and at what expense to them and to ourselves? The project that I lead, Humanities Commons, has at times been described as mission-driven. So I've been sitting with that term of late and trying to determine what I meant when I said it, and whether there is a way to articulate the good it seeks to evoke without the echoes of domination it brings along. My colleagues and I talk a lot about purpose as a result, which maintains the goal while shedding some of the zeal. And as I'll discuss later, we also focus on being values enacted, keeping the shared principles from which we work centrally in view. Beyond rejecting the colonialist implications, making a shift from mission to values reminds us that we can only serve the external purpose that we seek if we maintain an equal focus on the ways we work together within the organization. We cannot claim to be values enacted in the work we're doing for others unless we bring those values to bear in all of our interactions with one another as well. As Madeline Shaw notes in The Greater Good, to truly succeed as social entrepreneurs, we need to consider the integrity of our leadership practice as much as that of our product or service. These internal interactions are often forgotten in the rush to do good in the external world. When the Nightingales implore the bosses they advise to choose people over the companies they work for, they mean to remind us that the survival of an institutional structure, no matter how dedicated to the public good that structure may be, is not enough. For our institutions to do the good we want to see in the world, we have to care appropriately for the people that make up the institution. And in colleges and universities, those people are not just our present and future students, but also the employees, the people without whom the institution would not function.